There's no way I can take this topic or subject and do it justice in any one message. It's an impossibility. But I felt an urgency to get back on today, if you don't mind, talking about something that affects us all, and that's called deception. Yeah. Say deception. Deception. And I want to give you some scripture and some quotes and take you to the Word of God and just share my heart with you and ask that in your heart and in my heart. Let me start it out this way. How many of you ever go to a doctor? And does he write a script sometime out, take this, whatever the problem may be, am I right? Did you ever hear this at your front door the next day and you open up, doctor, what are you doing here? Well, I'm just checking up to make sure you took the script so you can feel better. That's not the way it goes. He's putting something in your hands that can make you better. Am I right? The Word of God is God's script that will make you and I better in the day and age we're living in. Amen? And we have the Holy Ghost in us, so he doesn't knock at our door. He lives inside of us. Amen? We're going to turn this morning into Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. The disciples asked Jesus a question. While he was seated at the third verse on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place? What will be, say, the sign? Remember last week we said the sign, it doesn't say signs, but as you read through the 24th chapter and other portions of Scripture, he gives us signs, but he says what? Sign. Doesn't say the signs and then list them. He says there'll be a sign. And what is the sign? It's simply deception. There'll be a sign of your coming and the end and completion, consummation of the age. Jesus answered them in the fourth verse, said, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. The number one culprit today is deception. It's the one that Satan used in the Garden of Eden against Adam and Eve. Say deception. He started saying things to them that weren't true, and somehow they bit, not into the apple, but they bit into something that wasn't true. Understand, we've talked about this, that the only school that Adam and Eve went to was the school of the Spirit. They never went to an elementary school, a high school, a college education, didn't get a doctorate or anything else. They learned in the school of the Holy Ghost, in his presence. Can I tell you something? You and I will learn more from being in the presence of God than we will than from being in the presence of men. Amen. Men fail, God doesn't fail. Amen? Amen? So he's talking about, say the word deception. Deception is the opposite of truth. Say deception, opposite of truth. When you go into a courtroom, they have you put your hand in the Bible. And what do they ask you to say? Tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But it sounds like today, you'll tell a lie, the whole lie, and nothing but the lie. You see, the truth has been swapped for a lie. It's been happening slowly, but now all of a sudden, the spirit of this age has shown its gross effects in our culture. A culture means what people believe, how they live. See, that's why the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. Amen? Amen. So what's the opposite of deceiving is what? Truth. Say this out loud to me. The more truth I have, the easier it will be to spot deception. How many of you know that's true? Amen. Hallelujah. If I know the truth, the Bible says, and the truth you know will set you free. Hallelujah. So it's about knowing the truth of God's word. How many times have you and I heard somebody say something and we go like, well, that's not true. How many of you know? You ever have that happen to you? But there's other times somebody slips something by us and it sounds just so good, but yet it's not good. Amen? Amen. The spirit of this age will not get into Harvest Church. Amen. The spirit of this age won't get into this preacher. Amen. The spirit of this age will not get into any preacher who stands in this pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. I've yanked preachers before. I've yanked them out of the pulpit. What are you talking about? Well, that's what the Lord gave me. It doesn't line up with the word. Have a nice day. Sit down. Let's have some more praise and worship. Amen. I've told preachers they're not coming back, and they said, why? Because of what you said. You didn't preach the word. You gave your opinion about something that's going on. I want to hear what the word of God says. See, your preacher, the shepherd for this local flock, I work under the chief shepherd. I have to give an account for what I do here at Harvest Church. I got to give an account for my own personal life. I've got to live the word of God out. Bible says, Paul said, you're living epistles read of men everywhere. Well, when it says living epistles, it means that how we live our lives in the realm of the spirit is how people are going to read us. Today we may change it and say, you are living emails read of everybody. I know what you want to call it. That's fine. But how you and I live our lives, say how we live our lives, will be read of people everywhere. I've had people all the time, they find out I'm a reverend. I never use the word reverend anywhere. That all of a sudden their language and everything calms down to a different level. What for? Just talk like a little bit normal. Just talk without curse words being involved in your language. I don't use curse words to express myself. No need to. But yeah, you'll find even well-educated people using curse words to express themselves. Remember the time I told you that somebody told me to go to hell? And I told him to go to heaven? And the man got angry at me. He said, what do you mean by telling me to go to heaven? Well, what makes you tell me to go to hell? He got offended that I used the word heaven, not hell. That was part of his vocabulary. Well, I don't believe in hell. Well, I do, and I also believe in heaven. I tell people I have dual citizenship, one here and one in heaven. Hallelujah. Did you know you have dual citizenship? Because the Bible says we are what? We're aliens here. We're just passing. It's like going to a motel and opening up your suitcase and closing it the next day and moving on. We are only here temporary. Say we're here temporary. Whatever we have here that we possess is going to be left behind. And then we're out of here. Go like that. In the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Say twinkling of an eye. So deception is what? The opposite of truth. Our nation is at a tipping point. Say our nation is at a tipping point. But it also refers to individuals. You and I can be at a tipping point spiritually in our lives. There's no time to waste. There's no time to be doing nothing when it comes to our spiritual well-being. God wants us sharp. He wants, how do you get sharp? Say the word of God on the inside of me. Listen to this now. Tipping point is the critical point in a situation or process or system beyond which is a significant and often unstoppable effect or change that takes place. Once I apologize to you, so I'll apologize to you again. I didn't talk about things that are in the media because I felt it was in the political arena. But in fact, it's not the political arena. It's the word of God in the arena of the word of God. When Roe, can I mention this? You don't mind, do you? When Roe versus Wade was passed, look what's happened so many years later. Now we want to kill children even after they're born. All you need is a seed, and a seed of a lie will grow, and before you know it, it'll multiply. And today you have people believing this nonsense over here, but the Bible says don't be deceived. What you sow is what you're going to reap and come back. But see, our responsibility is to pray. Say pray. For people around us, whether they're in the political arena or not, it's not about being on the left or right or what side of the aisle you're on. It's about getting the hearts of men and women changed. Can I challenge you this morning? I'm believing, along with my wife, that there'll be a clarion call in Congress. I mean that the Holy Ghost shows up. I mean that there's a super, I pray that angels can be seen in the Congress, amen? So people will change from their foolishness and do the right thing on both sides of the aisle. Forget about an aisle, amen? I know who walks down the aisle. Jesus walks down the aisle, amen? And he walked down for you and I because today, listen, today there are many churches. This doesn't affect just the political arena, but in churches today, people are preaching a crossless Christianity. They don't talk about sin. They talk about God loves you, he forgives you. Absolutely. But then the Bible goes further. See, they're leaving chapters of the Bible out where it says, now that you're a born-again believer, now you're going to be working out a new life in Christ Jesus. But if you leave it there, walk the aisle and get saved and say, Jesus, come in my life, that's the beginning. If you're going to get married to somebody and you say, I do at the altar, that's not the end. That's a brand new beginning where you and I change our foolish ways and we come into a new relationship with that man or woman that we're marrying. Amen? Amen. Say the opposite of deception is the truth. Say it again. The opposite of deception is the truth. Prayerlessness will bring deception into your life and my life. We're going to have an altar call of the heart right now. Are you ready? An altar call of the heart. That means I don't want you to come up here, but right where you are, there's going to be an altar call of our heart. including here. Give me something that you really like to do. Fishing. Would you give up an hour of your fishing time and spend it in the presence of God as a sacrifice because you enjoy it? Give me something else somebody likes to do. Golfing. Would you give up some of that golf time just to get alone with God, to hear what God has to say to you and I? Give me somebody else. How many of you really like to eat? No problem there. How many of you would give up, let's say, a meal and fast a meal and spend time in the presence of God? See, that's an altar call right here. When Jesus prayed, he came back to the disciples and said, could you not even spend 1 hour? 1 hour? I'm not saying spend 1 hour. I'm saying something that you and I like to do, would I give it up to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you and I, at the altar call right now of our heart, would do this for 1 week, you and I would be changed. What, say 1 week. There'll be such a supernatural change in your life and my life that we'll want more of it. Remember we talked about if you eat food, eventually you become full and stop eating? When you begin to eat the Word of God, you will get more and more of an appetite for more of the Word. Can I extend it a little bit further? The enemy listens to our words. That's what he uses against us. But let me tell you a foolproof solution to that. When you and I begin to pray in the Spirit, he doesn't understand what we're saying. It brings mass confusion into the kingdom of darkness. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many of you aren't? How many of you would like to be? If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you got a prayer language, Paul says this. He said, I speak in tongues more than any of you do. So it wasn't something uncommon. It's something I do all the time. Sometimes I'm walking around, I'm just speaking in the Spirit. The enemy does not understand that. But he does understand, I don't know why I'm going through this. Well, let's put some more on him. You understand that? But when you pray in the realm of the Spirit, it's a language that he cannot understand. It literally brings confusion his way. And when his demon spirits come back, the assignment didn't work. You know why? Because we're praying the Word. We're praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? He can't come near us. Say, he can't come near us. So what's the opposite of deception? Say the truth. Where do you find the truth? Say the Word. How many of you have a Bible in your hand? There's the antidote right there. There it is right there. Say, I've got the antidote. What is it? It's the Word of God. What's the key to staying out of deception? I just said it. Is to stay, walk in the Spirit. Renew our minds daily with the Word of God. Say, with the Word of God. When my wife and I are in the car, we put a CD on. We listen to some preaching. We've got one we listen to over and over and over. We could probably quote some of those CDs because we hear them so often. But every once in a while, right, hon? We pick up one little thing we didn't hear before. One little tidbit, even though we've heard it 10, 20, 30 times, and it begins to cause the Word of God to come alive on the inside of us. Deception is the rule of the day. Every area of our culture or society, deception is the rule of the day. Say, deception is the rule. Now listen to this definition I gave you last week, if you don't mind. It's from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. That is what we are seeing right now with our eyes. We are seeing things happen that you and I, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, would have said, that's impossible. We'll never see it. It's going on. And the Bible says it's going to get even worse. The Bible says this, there are perilous times coming. The word perilous means such difficult times that will be hard for you and I to bear. But guess who will sustain us? Who will sustain us? Pastor, I wish you wouldn't preach something like this. Well, I have to preach it, because if I don't, I got to be held accountable by God. The word deception means to wander off course. And it doesn't only refer to an individual. It refers to nations. It refers to groups of people. There's a wandering off course. Well, what's the course? It's right here. It's the Word of God. Walking and wandering off course is getting away from the truth of God's Word. This is the only truth on planet Earth. Now, don't get too excited with me. This is the only truth on planet Earth. This is the only truth on planet Earth. But I heard such and such a preacher say this. This is the only truth on planet Earth. But this guy has a big ministry. This is the only truth on planet Earth. But he quoted the scripture. Is he living the scripture? This is the only truth on planet Earth. I could tell you story after story. There was one guy that was coming in and out of here years ago as an evangelist. Everybody wanted to hear him. And he showed up one night with his girlfriend. This is true stuff. And people start, well, is that his wife? Somebody, no, it's not his wife. Well, where's his wife? Oh, they're not doing too well. Who's that? That's his girlfriend. Not one preacher told that man to his face, you will not get on that pulpit. You will not preach the unadulterated word of God. You can't have your girlfriend on your arm while your wife is somewhere else. That won't be accepted. But they let him on. And the next day they let him on again. And then they let him on again. And then it all came into view. And all of a sudden, all of those men who had a good reputation was tainted. And people saw God as being tainted. Does it happen? Yes, it does. When I was a younger pastor, you know, just a couple years ago. When I was a younger pastor, I used to preach some of the hurts I was experiencing. Because I had no experience. But as I got farther along, I realized that if I forgave people when they said it, I get into the pulpit clean and not deceived. Amen. See, my flesh was hurt. The Bible talks about crucifying your flesh. Amen? So what's the antidote for deception? Say the antidote is what? Listen to 2 Peter. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 2, verse 14. They have eyes full of harlotry, insatiable for sin. Listen to Matthew 24, verse 12. Such will be the spread of evil that many people's love will grow wax cold. Say wax cold. My God, can I give you something else? Listen to this quote from a pastor. Most people spend their lives rushing around with the crowds, doing what everyone else does and believing what everyone else believes. But as far as salvation is concerned, there's no security in numbers. Remember the Broadway? And the narrow way, the way that is broad is easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, permissive, self-orientated, the way of the world. This doesn't just mean people that aren't believers. This applies to churches today. If I've got somebody living in sin, out and out sin, because that sin has come out of the closet and we put Jesus in the closet, I don't want that teaching kids in this church. I don't want that in a leadership role in this church. There's no room for it. Because once you confess your sin, there's a change that should take place. But instead, what we've done is we've nursed the sin because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I got news for you. You're hurting God's feelings. You're coming up against the Word of God. The only answer is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, and to start turning your life around and living it according to the Word of God, not according to what everybody else says and thinks. Listen to what he says here. There are few rules, these are talking about churches now, few rules, self-oriented way of the world. There are few restrictions, few requirements. Too many people, especially in the body of Christ, think that this is nothing more than restrictive. No, it's trying to save your life and my life. It's not restrictive because once you know the freedom that's in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God, you and I were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody died for your sins and my sins. Say once and for all. Say once and for all. Say it again, once and for all. Nudge your neighbor and say, hey, I'm free. Once and for all. This is what churches are preaching. All you need to do is profess Jesus or at least be religious. And you're readily accepted into the large and diverse groups. Listen, here's some of the things that go on in church today. This isn't political. This is church stuff. Sin is tolerated. Sin is tolerated. It's not tolerated here. It's not tolerated in you because you leave here with the Holy Ghost on the inside. Sin is not tolerated. You don't put up with it. If you have something that really smells in your vehicle, are you going to get in and put a clothespin on your nose or are you going to find out what the smell is? Paulie had that with the van. You ever find out what that smell was? Oh, Donna, said to Paulie, get a can of coffee beans, put them underneath the seat. It worked. Coffee beans. Who would have thought of coffee beans? Spray this and spray this. Get them washed. Get them scrubbed out professionally. Coffee beans absorb the smell. If you've got something in your life and I have in my life that stinks, I bring it before God, and the fragrance of the Holy Ghost will take that thing away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, sin is tolerated. Listen now. Truth is moderated. That means truth is reduced so sin can take an upper. Are you kidding me? Remember, I know I shared this with you, but it comes back into my spirit because you talk about deception. That's what it is. Years ago when they had a whole bunch of pastors in the area got together because people were kind of bebopping all over to find somebody who would marry them. They don't go to church, but looking for, you know, like a chapel like in Las Vegas. So all the pastors got together and they wrote out this whole thing over here talking about what we should look for and what we're all going to be in agreement on. I read through the whole thing. And then anybody have any questions? How many of you remember this? How many of you never heard it? Get ready now. I raised my hand and said, where are the scripture verses? Well, hang on now. We did not want to offend anybody by putting scripture verses in it. Isn't marriage something that God ordained? And I remember standing up and saying out loud and walking out. I like to do those kind of things. And said this, you have offended God and you've offended me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know how many of those pastors called me up and said, Pastor, what were you doing? Not one of them has. They avoid me till today. You know why? Because I'm a preacher of righteousness and I'm not going to let something like sin and we don't want to offend. Are you kidding me? You're offending God, the living God, who's created the universes, who gave his son Jesus Christ for you and I so we could be free from sin and not wind up in hell for eternity. Humility is ignored. God's word is praised but not studied. Its standards are admired but not followed. See, when God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, they weren't 10 suggestions. His standards are admired but not followed. This way requires no spiritual maturity, no moral character, no commitment, no sacrifice. It's the easy way of floating downstream. You ever go on a lazy river in one of those parks? You get in one of those tubes? They don't make those tubes. One size fits all. I've even tried to come up from underneath. And then I got my head in and my arms are over here. So I get a two-man tube. And somebody had the nerve to say, you know, that's for two people. I am two people. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You and I can drift downstream, spiritually speaking, but that's not going to work in the day and age we live in. There is more deception than ever before. It will continue to take place and happen. But instead, God wants us to plant ourselves firmly on the Word of God. Every day is a challenge. How many of you know that one's true? I find every day in my life is a challenge. But when you look at parents from Nikki, 50 years, you look at my wife and myself, Paulie and Jamie's parents, 50 years, that's 100 years of experience. That signifies commitment. There were times it was easier to, who needs this? But you know what? When you make a commitment on the Word of God, you stay with the commitment. You stay with the commitment because a commitment is a covenant relationship. Jesus was committed to the covenant that he established with God himself. It was a blood covenant. Say blood covenant. A blood covenant is one of the most endearing. You study the word covenant, you'll find out a lot of good stuff. The most endearing of all covenants. It could not be broken. You can't break this covenant. Jesus will not break his covenant. He sits right now in the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I because he established a blood covenant. He can't get up. He can't say, God, I can't take this anymore. Dad, you got to come up with another plan. It's already done. It was finished at Calvary, and it's finished for you and I, and it's an enduring covenant. Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say glory. Just praise him for a minute. Would you do that? Just praise him for a minute. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Just keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2nd, it says in 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous times of great stress and trouble, Amplified reads this way, hard to deal with and hard to bear. We are there. We are there. When our ears hear what is going on in the world around us, it becomes difficult to bear what we hear. It's difficult to deal with because it erodes the foundation of what we know as a great nation, as what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. When you take the Word of God out of somebody's life and out of society, and little by little we've seen that happen, head for cover, because things are going to keep falling apart. Have you ever played the game Jenga? Is that it? You put all these blocks and put them high up, and what do you begin to do? Take one out of a time, one block at a time. People are very strategic. But eventually, you begin to see all these blocks with those missing begin to teeter-totter. And then all of a sudden, when one person finally pulls that last block out, the thing collapses. That's what's taking place. The world today is, well, we'll take this out. Only one God. And we'll just take out this thing about sin. That's an old word. That's not politically correct. Political correctness is going to hell with a whole bunch of other people. It's never political correctness. It's biblical correctness. Roe versus Wade, the lady got saved. Hang on. She gave birth to the baby, never aborted it. And she's still alive today. The mother died, but that baby's still alive somewhere on planet Earth. But nobody's telling you those things because deception started and it's still going on today, multiplying and multiplying. That's when the truth needs to stand up, the Word of God. We need godly men and women serving in everywhere in life and say, no, this is what I believe based on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I told somebody about a week ago that we need people that don't have a platform in politics but have a foundation. Because a platform is what other people put on to entertain other people. But this Word of God doesn't fool around. This Bible is the foundation. Jesus said there's two houses, one next to the other. They both look the same. They both sound the same. But one is built on sand. One is built into the foundation of the Word of God. And when the storms of life come, and they're coming, and they're going to keep on coming, you and I will stand up boldly. And when the storm passes, we'll open the front door and say, hey, honey, can you get me a screwdriver? One of the shingles are loose. And when you look next door, the Bible says such a collapse takes place that you don't even recognize there was anything standing there. This is a no-nonsense age for the believer. You can't tolerate and pet sin anymore. It's over. If you come to me, I got this problem. Are you reading your Bible? No. Then don't come to me because I don't have an answer. The book does. But I remember preaching one of the first messages here ever, the Mugwumper message. Who remembers the Mugwumper message? What does that mean? Too many believers got their mug on one side of the fence and their rump on the other side. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You and I can't serve the world and serve God. It's got to be one or the other. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:1. Great stress and trouble. Listen now. The only other time this word, perilous, shows up in the Bible. In Matthew 8:28, where it refers to the violence of the demonic. Remember him? And can I put it this way? The last days will be demon-driven days. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's Luke 18:8. If you stick around Harvest Church, if you stick around the Holy Ghost, if you stick around the Word of God, when he shows up, and it may very well be before you and I pass on, everything's ready. We may actually see the Antichrist in our generation. The Spirit's already here, but Jesus, listen, Jesus foretold, and the Father says this, you don't know the day nor the hour, son, but you're going back. Can you imagine, when I get to heaven, I'll ask, but it really doesn't matter because it already had taken place. Why wouldn't the Father tell the Son, since the three are one? There's something about his return that is so unusual and so dynamic that even Jesus doesn't know. But can I tell you something? I kind of sense in my spirit that there's a big white horse already saddled. And I could see it snorting, waiting for its rider. And then Jesus, with his white robe of purity, is going to jump on that horse. I don't know how long he'll sit on that horse, but when he gets on it, the end is near. I'm here to tell you, this is the time to live right, to live the way the Word of God tells us to live, and not let deception come on in our lives. Deception is wandering off course. How many of you know it's easy to wander off course? Go over real quick, and we're all done here. Go over to James real quick. Say, James. We are living in demon-driven days. There's no question about it. But listen, as Andy was sharing yesterday, I saw this in the Amplified, and we're all done. Fair enough? Look at verse 22 of the first chapter of James. Let's just read the 21st too. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness within a humble, gentle, modest spirit. Receive and welcome what? The Word. Say the Word. Which is implanted and rooted in our hearts. What must the Word of God be? Rooted in our hearts. But first it's got to be what? Planted. Not a weed. In our hearts, it contains the power to save our souls. Look at 22. But be doers of the Word. The Amplified puts in parentheses, obey the message. One of the things that keeps skirting believers is obedience. We must be obedient to what God's Word says. It doesn't mean we have to like it. My wife and I had a conversation about chain of command. And I was saying this, she said, chain of command. And she was right on. Because if you violate the chain of command, everything else becomes tainted. Jim, have you liked everything in the Marines that you were told to do? No. But when you were told something you weren't too keen on, how'd you feel? Sir, yes, sir. Chain of command. The Bible is the chain of command for you and I. It may not be something we like. It may be something that we feel different about, like Israel. There's the promised land. And we can't take it. But other two people said, sir, yes, sir. The chain of command can't be broken by what we think out of our soulish realm. Are you ready here now? Listen. For if anyone listens to the word, say listens, without obeying it is like a doer in the mirror looking carefully at his own natural face. That's what gets us into trouble. For he thoroughly, 24, observes himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. You can't wander off course and be deceived. That's what the word's saying here. Now listen to this next one. It's powerful. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, say the words, faultless, of liberty, and is faithful to do it, perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, listen now, he shall be blessed in doing his life of obedience. Say, life of obedience. Go back to the 22nd verse and we're all done. Be doers of the word. Obey the message, not merely listening to it, betraying ourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Say, this is the truth. When we reason contrary to it, we're being deceived. Deception will lead us to hell. The truth will lead us to heaven. When you wake up tomorrow, you can be living a victorious life because you've already made a decision today in your heart to follow what the Word of God says. Say this with me now. No more will I be deceived. By what I hear, by what I see, I will no longer be deceived. When you wake up in the morning, say, today is my day for the truth to come out. No deception. And if you'll do that, if you'll put your teeth into the Word of God and read it and pray and take that special time that you like to do something and offer it up to God, deception won't even bother to come down your block anymore. He doesn't come down my block anymore. There's no way in the world. Why? Because I got a big shingle out front that says, Paul lives here with the truth. Don't deliver any junk mail here. Don't even walk on my property, spiritually speaking. I live with the truth. I live with Jesus. And I never gave Jesus a guest room. I gave him the master suite.
Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Come on, thank him for it. Stand up right where you are. Thank him for it. I will not be deceived. I will not. I cannot be deceived. I will not be, and listen, the word of God, listen, when it says the word deception, it, another term for it is hoodwinked. If you Google deception, you'll find hoodwinked. You know what hoodwinked means? Before we had any children back in Pennsylvania in college, the man came by who sells diapers, and he talked me into buying diaper service, and we didn't have any kids. I was deceived. You don't want to buy diapers and be deceived, especially if you don't change diapers. Deception comes in all sizes. Amen. Bow your heads. Let's begin to thank him right now for salvation that comes to those watching and listening around the globe. If you've been taking this broadcast in, I want you to know a man named Jesus Christ loves you, and he doesn't want you to be deceived that there is no heaven. He wants you to know there's a place called heaven. There's a place that he's placed aside for us by dying on the cross of Calvary. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's forgiven you of your sins. If you'd like to make a decision today to begin to follow the truth, which is Jesus, because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, then simply say this prayer and Harvest Church will join you. Jesus, today is the day that I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me, make me in right standing with you. The Bible says this, old things pass away. All things become new. When you put your head on that pillow tonight, sir, young lady, and you wake up in the morning, it's going to be like a brand new day because it is, because your spirit man has just got born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.